Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to part two of a discussion about stubbornness. I'm joined by Dr. Ranj and the most stubborn woman I know, Lindsay Kane. It has been studied and, surprise, surprise, men are more stubborn than women. Princeton carried out the study about negative leadership traits, and 46% of respondents say that men are the more stubborn gender. This is when we're in leadership and sort of more commercial roles, I think, compared with 32% who say that about women. Do you think that stubbornness, although it leads to negative outcomes, appears to make people more successful? So we've got like the worst combination of both things here, because it seems to be like stubborn. Yeah, fuck it. Take me as you find me. Yeah, I'm a C-U-N-T. And that's what I am. If you don't want me, don't vote for me. People are like, I'm voting.
Yeah, but look at Putin. Like he's very probably one of the most stubborn people at the minute. Please don't come after me. But, you know, like, and he's sort of losing steam, isn't he, really?
Yeah, but he's not had a short run of it, Lindsay. He's been in about 20 odd years.
I think it's the problem with that statement is that it's subject to confirmation bias, isn't it?
Of course.
So anyone
that's successful and stubborn, you're automatically going to associate the stubbornness with the success. Whereas we haven't seen the 9 out of 10 other people who are stubborn and not successful because we never hear about them.
Correct.
That's so true. Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy then, isn't it? Yes, sure. People who are in power get to do and say what they want, and therefore that stubbornness may have worked in their particular favour.
Yes, that's so true.
Obviously, that's likely to happen. But then what we don't know is all of those other people that are out there who are stubborn, who literally it was the cause of their failure.
There's a lot of stubborn failures listening to this going, thank you, Dr. A. Thank you. I feel seen.
Like for you, for instance, Russ, whereas like I've got to, like I'll get easily distracted. So I'll start something, then the bell will go and I'll go down and I'll start something else. Whereas you're very tunnel vision.
ADHD,
like you start.
No, you're not allowed to have a personality trait.
No, I'm not. Oh, fuck off. No, but you're very good at like, right, I won't start something else until I've completely finished that. Like you're very stubborn with that. And people will look and go, oh, that's why you're successful. But
I agree. You know, I get uncomfortable with compliments. Sorry. But I feel like if I think about something I'm getting right too much, it'll be like thinking about driving too much and I'll drive into a central reservation.
No, but it's a valid point of we're talking about being stubborn, and that is one of your traits. You are stubborn, and that's probably why, you know, you do well and things.
I mean, I was going to ask you both about whenever you've been stubborn, where it's led to a success with something. Not where you've stubborn to the point where it's done you harm, like I asked before, but where you've gone, no, this time I'm going to stand my ground. This is what's right. I'm going to hold in there and I'm not moving my position. I mean, I can immediately think of one for Lindsay while you're thinking of one, Dr. Ranj, and that's when the night we met, she was told quite firmly where you're going to sit. These are your seats. She's like, thank you. That's a shit seat. You know, I'm not going to sit there. I'm not tolerating a bad view in the theatre.
No, you're making me sound like a right dickhead now. That did not happen like that. No. A friend of mine had a friend that worked at the theatre, and she said, oh, I'll see if she can reserve any seats for you so you've not got to rush there. So this person reserved seats for us. We went in and got put up in the gods. And my friend was like, oh, did you get your seats? And my dad was like, let's just stay here. It's fine. I went to security and said, oh, you know, apparently I've got seats reserved. And they had on the front row. So there we go. We moved. I didn't go, excuse me, these seats are shit. I'm not like a diva like Mariah Carey.
Yeah, but still, you got moved to the front row and now
You know, what can I say? You won the star. I took you through to judges' houses and then you won the star prize. Sexy motherfucker.
And now you've got a front seat for life.
Exactly. How you do anything without sitting the gods. What about you, Dr. Angie? Have you ever actually, I know you're like me, you're a bit of a, well, I don't know if you're as bad as I am, but I find myself shitting on my beliefs within 30 seconds if no one's listening, if it just keeps the green room peaceful. I mean, I mean, no spine detected in an MRI scan. But with what, like Lindsay said, with my work and goals, I will just continue. Like, I'm working on a project called Evil Genius at the moment, which I started from the back of a fab packet to a podcast, to a BBC Sounds Blogger, to a Radio 4, to a TV pilot. And I'm like sort of Alan Partridge cringe levels of hanging in there with my nails. Yeah. But if you were to come to me and say, oh, I hate Thai food, do you? I'd be like, yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'm not overly keen. Whereas I love Thai food. I would just want you to like me.
I don't think that's a negative trait, to be honest. You know, you said no spine detected on MRI. And I'm like, actually, being flexible and fluid is completely the way to survive, actually. It's a core basis of evolution. But I think for me, there are some people in life who are naturally clever. They're really, really good at stuff like that. I'm not one of those people. Okay. I have to work really bloody hard. If it's anything academic, I honestly have to do probably three times the amount of work that everyone else has to do. So when I was doing my degrees, because I did two stupidly, don't know why. Literally, I hit the wall so many times thinking, I can't do this. I genuinely cannot do this. But then I thought, out of sheer stubbornness, I'm fucking going to prove that I can. And I'm that classic kid that if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you. And I've heard that so many times throughout life and career where someone says, I don't think you can do it. And I'm like, fuck off. I'm going to show you. And that's why I think, In many ways, I've been very, very fortunate and lucky in my career in that I've been able to do lots of different things, like the medicine stuff, the TV stuff, various things that I've been fortunate enough to do. And it's always been a case of I've got that voice in the back of my head that someone's telling you can't do that. Fucking show them. And that stubbornness, but turned on its head into something that I can use as a strength.
Weaponize stubbornness.
That's it. Weaponized it. Used it to fuel my batteries as opposed to, you know, be my barricade.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lindsay, about social media, just moving on, Instagram and Twitter has definitely had an effect on human stubbornness, on entrenching one's position, on you're either delete the tweet, apologise, quickly move on, or you're another 80 tweets afterwards further confirm. But it's not like you're in a pub or you're in a talk or you're on Question Time and everyone's watching on BBC One. This is can go to millions quickly and it's blow up so much more. It's stubbornness on steroids or flexibility on steroids, depending on whether you're like me and Randy or not. What do you think, Linz? Have you...
So what's the actual question?
The question is, do you think social media has made stubborn people more... like they want to display their stubbornness?
I think it depends on the person, but I mean, like Katie Hopkins, she's so unapologetic, isn't she? And what's that guy, that Tate guy, what's he called? Is it Andrew Tate? Is that what he was called?
Was he the one that got banned from social?
Yeah, the one that got banned. And I think people spoke about it, it sort of fueled him, didn't he? So I suppose it was that same stubbornness, like, oh, fuck you, I'm going to show you. And he kept just coming out with more and more stuff, getting bigger and bigger. More people knew about him who didn't before. And then obviously probably it's good for him that he's been banned, because it's, even though it's bad publicity, he'll look at it and be like, it's good publicity, like I'm known. And he's probably used that to fuel him. But like Katie Hopkins, she doesn't give a shit, does she? She's never stopped.
I would agree. But the positive flip on that is if we go all the way back to the Arab Spring, which is the first sort of social media stubbornness I can think of, people in a square saying we will have democracy, we will not be moved. Imagine that without social media. Would it have caught on as fast? Would the same things have happened? Maybe. I suspect not.
So people are very much aware now, aren't they? They want to be perceived in a certain way. So maybe they're more aware and they can't online be themselves or say their actual opinion because they're worried or fearful of like being cancelled.
But what about people who can be themselves more? So, for example, the debate we're having around gender or Black Lives Matter or the COVID debates that raged throughout the whichever side you were on. Not that I count the other side as a side, but there we are. But you know what I mean? People have a voice. So if you are, I don't know, let's make it a bit less heat in it. We are in the Arab Spring. You are in a square. You are in the middle of Egypt and you are standing your ground. You feel backed up more by eyes you never would have reached before. It's more worth gambling on a bit of stubbornness. You might be heard.
Everyone on social media is basically given a microphone, aren't they? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Everyone gets a microphone, no matter what your opinion may be. You've got a microphone and there's a big enough audience that somebody somewhere is going to agree with you or support you. And the problem with social media algorithms is that often you're then shown the stuff that aligns with your viewpoint and again gives you that reinforcement. And also the whole point about social media being an echo chamber, we follow people who we agree with and like to think, you know, are similar to us and agree with our kind of views, and it bolsters all of that stuff. So I don't think you need to be stubborn necessarily on social media, because you're always going to find something that backs you up. Stubbornness comes from, I think, it's that feeling, that need to think that you are right. And you have to prove to everyone that you're right. Whereas often on social media, I think people aren't trying to prove a point. They're just trying to find people that back them up.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
It's that microphone effect. It just is, isn't it? No matter what your shitty opinion might be. And there's a lot of very horrible opinions on social media. And it goes unvetted.
They're like mini cults, aren't they? Like mini cults.
Absolutely. There's loads of that cultist kind of behaviour that goes on, because do you know why? It's the very human thing that we just want to belong. Everyone wants to belong to something. We want to feel connected to something, no matter what that something might be. And it might be abhorrent, but people want to feel like they are part of something. We're social animals. And social media just does that without you even having to, you know, be in the same room as someone or go anywhere or do anything. It's just, it's wonderful and pretty horrific in equal measures, isn't it?
There should be some sort of like carbon offset equivalent where you have to be exposed to 20% a day opinions that are the opposite to yours.
Yeah, totally. Sometimes it's healthy, isn't it?
It's essential. So in the last part, I just want to talk about relationships. I've spoken about this on stage. I've spoken about this in the pub, but I've never found no statistics or study that's been done on it. But I'm totally, it's too much of a coincidence. We're talking hundreds of tour dates to rooms with anywhere from 500 people to 5,000 in, and people clap it in agreement. 90% of the couples in the room, whatever their age, gender, whatever, is made of one of each type. One, whether we're talking about stubbornness now, but normally one like high energy, slightly mental, neurotic, overorganized one, and one can't pick up a sock, I call them. And that is why they work. It's the positive thing, the opposite. So I have to be with someone that, if we miss the flight and all our luggage is lost, isn't that bothered. That's Lindsay. It's fine, Russell, chill out. We'll buy something when we get there. It's not the end of the world. I have to be with someone like that. Lindsay needs to be with someone who gets her to the airport in the first place.
Such a wanker.
No, but what I mean is, no, but Lindsay, I need you. I need it. And Rand, I don't know what, are you married?
No.
But I'm guessing if you look at your more successful relationships, there's been a degree of, I believe in love like Tetris. You need the bits that you don't have. And if you go seeking what you do have, it can blow up in flames.
Ah, that's interesting. So almost like an opposites attract kind of thing.
In a lot of areas. And I wonder with stubbornness, it's even more paramount. If you've got two, I will not change my viewpoint together. I mean, what are your arguments and your conflict resolutions going to be?
I don't necessarily think you need those opposing energies, though, at all, to balance it out. Sometimes you just get two people who are quite amenable. Whatever your combination is, no matter how it fits together, as long as the sum of your parts are better, results in something better, no matter what the ingredients might be, that's what counts. That's of what's course. Important. You don't have to have somebody that's chilled and somebody that's really passionate. You don't have to have somebody that's quiet and someone that's really, really loud. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to, but it happens over and over again. Of course, I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with your theory. I'm only going on my unscientific but massive volume nightly surveys of people digging each other with elbows going, that's you.
But also, Russ, like, our daughter who's six and is your twin, like, it's, she's just, you are the same person. You both
that
you've got a really good
a lot.
But But in theory, then you should clash because you're so alike. But actually, you say to me, like, I understand her. That's why you're better.
Lindsay,
so
suppose it can all change. It'll all change once the hormones kick in. Don't worry about it. I will have my time in Afghanistan. Don't worry.
I'm going to be checking in somewhere, that's for sure.
Maybe that's where I'm going wrong, because I'm single at the moment. So, because I've always thought that, no, I don't want to be with someone that's constantly challenging me.
Yeah, but run through the most successful couples, you know, the ones that seem to be happiest. And next time you meet them, ask them. You'll find, it's not like black and white yin and yang across the board, but broadly speaking, if someone is quite sort of like weird and on TripAdvisor, sucking the fun out of the holiday before you've even gone, know where the hidden eateries are, ordering the current edition of The Lonely Planet because the old one's not good enough, it's useful to be paired with someone going, put the book down, Gary, let's just wander down a side street. Because that holiday, you've got everything covered. All the research is done, but you can still go off on impulsive adventures too. I think it's a metaphor for life.
I don't think stubbornness works in relationships, though, does it? Can it
No,
work?
It's not. No, I think it's compromise, isn't it? And I think, like, with me and you, Russ, like, we're balanced, aren't we? So the things that irritate you don't irritate me and vice versa. So I think that's what makes us work, is that we're quite balanced with things.
I think that's basically what Range was saying, is you need the net balance sheet has to add up to 100. Just doesn't matter how you get there. 50-50 is fine, as long as the balance sheet's 100.
Actually, if the balance sheet adds up to 110, it's even better.
Oh, yeah, of course. Hey. Victoria and David, if you're listening, welcome anytime.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices. But making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your yard aren't exactly comfortable. And while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good, while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
So you're a single person, perfect to ask. At least in a fleeting and temporary
You and
way.
Your failed relationships. Right, I'm going to ask you questions.
No, I'm asking about attraction and dating. Do you think that stubbornness, at least initially, can be sexy? There's something about it. Even though it might not lead to the best relationship, can there be something alpha and attractive about a kind of, you go on the first date, we've got you this table, no thanks, we'll wait for the nice one over there. Sorry, let's get a cocktail. I'm sorry, I'm just not having that.
I just automatically think you're a bit of a wanker. I know some people might find that sexy and attractive. I don't find that. For me, kindness is sexy and attractive.
Because
like, if you've got someone who has all those, you know, lovely, warm, positive, that for me is the thing, not the, oh, you're a bit of a tosser. Like,
he's just hanging around at fundraising galas, perving. Who's the guy doing the silent auction?
I'm at every charity event trying to pick up someone. Come on.
Oh my God, where's all the hot kind guys?
who's going to be my next ex-boyfriend? Like, come on, which one? I mean, this is a personal opinion. I don't find stubbornness.
No.
I find passion sexy. Determination is sexy.
Yeah.
Hard work and ambition and all of that stuff is sexy. But if you're stubborn, you're just a wanker.
Do you think there's such a thing as a stubbornness that stops people falling in love, where they've become ingrained? Normally, someone maybe who's maybe past the magical age of 27, 28, had the heart shat out a few times, and might have, I call it the emotional condom, where you get to a stage where you're dating and you have a full prophylactic over your heart. No matter how nice the person is, no matter how kind they are, no matter how good the sex is, your heart's wearing a condom. You cannot catch
love. Bloody hell, I've been trying to look for the perfect description for it, and that is it. I think I'm double sheathed.
Yeah. Double sheath, yeah. You've got a coil in there as well.
Just for good measure. Wow.
But a stubbornness when it comes to letting oneself go to fall in love. We've all known them, you know, and obviously with my female friends, it seems to affect them more because I think, unfortunately, at the time of recording, science and society hasn't found a way for women's fertility not to be curtailed. For mainstream, unless you've got thousands of pounds, that get to 35, 40, the panic button kicks in. And that stubbornness and that inability to let yourself go, you find, particularly my female friends, find themselves in a lonely corner. But of course, it affects men too. We all want love. We all want partnership. Yeah. We all want children.
Well, not all of us.
No. But most of us. No, sorry, not all want children. Most of us end up wanting children. And in fact, I'm making a documentary right now with Channel 4 with two other guys about that very thing. It's actually about male fertility and sperm count and the crisis we're going through with male sperm count. But what's immediately coming to the surface, us being three very different guys, mixture of backgrounds, gay, straight, everything, is that you get to that point where you're like, shit, I would love to make a family.
That's your biology kicking in.
Yes. And it's leaving aside the microplastics in your testicles. If you've got stubbornness in your heart, it can be fatal in creating love.
Well, my best mate says that to me all the time. She's like, you're too stubborn. You know, you're wearing your emotional condom, as you describe it, and not taking a chance. And maybe, do you know what? Maybe she's right.
I think you just got to let go and think, do you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the here and now and not look too far in the future. And I think...
Someone said that to me last night. Russell, how did you get rid of your condom?
So it's just, many people walk past now. Sebastian, can you get me an Actimel out the fridge?
No, but I'd had a condom on before I met you, Russ, and I just thought, do you know what? I'm sick of it. Like, not all men are bastards. I'm just going to go out there and just enjoy. He was my first date, like, after I'd been... Not I'd been single for like a year, and Russ was my first date, and I just thought, I just wanted to laugh, and I just thought, I'm gonna go, I'm just gonna enjoy it, and we just had a really nice time. But that was my, I was like, right, I'm just gonna throw myself out there and see where it goes.
But that stubbornness, that condom is just, isn't that just a self-preservation thing? Isn't that just a safety net?
Yes, of course.
It's normal. That's normal.
Yeah, but also it's not a bad thing. Unless you're at risk of dying, I think life's so short. Don't wear that condom forever because you're going to end up lonely.
Yeah.
We're back to saying stubborn people live longer, but it seems like a fear of what people think and a fear of what happens to you can hold you back. Is it a fear of what people think as well? The fear of people seeing you have another failed relationship, or is it the fear of the physical feeling of being hurt? Which is it?
Probably a mixture.
I'm not too fussed about what other people think. For me, it's the feeling of being hurt.
I think women probably feel like, oh, I don't, what they'll look at me and think, what's wrong with me? Why did he cheat on me? I think women probably feel a bit different. Like they take it as a, like if a man cheats majority of the time, like women will take it personal and care what people think.
Gosh, gone down a whole other avenue. Interesting though, if you say stubbornness keeps you by yourself and could potentially lead to loneliness, loneliness itself is a killer.
Mm. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're saying stubborn people potentially could live longer. I think it depends what you do with your stubbornness, doesn't it?
But I think it's mindset with you. When you just said it before, Russ, about like your granddad, for instance, like he's had different health complications, but his mindset's like, no, absolutely not. I'm still going out and playing bowls and stuff like that. So I think probably that stubborn is a mindset thing, then that's... You're letting him live longer.
I agree. I read a really good book by Anthony Storr, not Will Storr. And there is a difference. There's two different words here, solitude and loneliness. Yes. And it appears to be your body processes them completely different. So a weirdo like me, I can go on the road. I'm what's called an ambivert. I clearly charge like an X-Man from thousands of people laughing at me. I'm the first one dancing at Ocean Beach Club. I like to be the center of the nightclub going, who's that guy? I can also do 5 days sat on my own, takeaways, books and films, smiling like a Cheshire cat, not down, not having a crash and tears of the clown. Fucking love being on my own. I love it. I've never experienced a negative feeling, even some on the road after 2 or 3 days. Now I miss my family. We're not talking about missing. We're talking about the feeling of being alone and that under the duvet and there's no one there in the books. So it appears to be like a ninja mind trick you can do in your head. So anyone's listening to this who is feeling lonely, if you can flick it to solitude, and this is where the doctor will have to take over from me, it appears to be that the stress-related element, the thing that kills lonely people, the things that can lead to calcium deposits in the arteries, even though your diet and everything might be okay, is a stress-related response to the stress hormone, which whose name escapes me, cortisol. But how can you be stressed if you're enjoying the, in inverted commas, loneliness?
Yeah.
So are you experiencing solitude, which is nothing to get hung up about, or are you genuinely pining? Two very different things.
Absolutely, completely. And you're right. I was thinking about this the other day. I haven't felt, and I'm lucky to say this, I haven't felt lonely in a very long time, actually. But I love my time alone.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's a mindset. Maybe sometimes flipping it. And we've got to remember, though, for some people who are like us and very lucky in very, very many ways, we can flip our, you know, alone time into solitude because we've got hope at the end of the day. We know that, you know what, there's always something there to catch us. It's always not always going to be like that. But there are people out there who have no hope. You know, they have nothing to look forward to and they can't make that switch into solitude and enjoying their time by themselves and actually focusing on themselves and having that me time. I think we've got to remember that we're very, very lucky to be able to do that, aren't we?
Very, very. But there might be someone in that position listening to this that can identify with something we were saying before about the stubbornness around their heart, because that you can control to an extent. So if you were to follow what Lindsay said a bit more and just maybe have a year of seeing where things lead a bit more without the condom on, it might fix the second part of what we've been talking about.
Be open to possibility.
Boom. That's where we're leaving it, guys. That's if my mic wasn't on my desk with a dodgy cable, I would drop it in celebration of where we just were. Dr. Ranj, Lindsay Kane, thank you very much for talking about stubbornness on the Man Baggage podcast. If you've come here as fans of either Dr. Ranj or Lindsay, highly likely, please hang around. Hang around stubbornly. Leave a review. Leave 5 stars. Hit subscribe. Tell everyone about it. And we'll be back next time because I'll never leave and I'll never be moved. And I've been Russell Kane. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.